This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Grin and Bear It.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Dow is in bear market territory, and there's not a whole lot anyone can do about it other than hope for the best. Wall Street could be in for another rough day, with oil hitting a new record this morning of $143 a barrel. Many investors will be only too happy to see the month of June and the second fiscal quarter come to an end. So, will July start off any better? As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, a lot rides on the economic data out this week.
U.S. automakers report their June sales figures tomorrow. Thursday, the Labor Department is expected to announce that employment shrank in June for the sixth straight month. Equity strategist Peter Buchvar with Miller Tabak says investors will be watching these numbers.
I expect them to be weak. I think everyone expects them to be weak. It's just a matter of to what degree and whether that weakness spells another leg down or not.
As of Friday's close, the Dow is down almost 20% from its October high. Charles Lieberman is chief investment officer for Advisors Capital Management. He says a 20% decline is considered a bear market as opposed to a mere correction.
If you're in stocks, you're hurting. And whether it's formally a bear market or not is irrelevant.
A Reuters survey out today says investors are moving away from stocks. They've pared back their holdings to the lowest level in at least 4 years. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Ah, but you can bet those investors are still watching Wall Street's every move. The Dow is up 52 points to 11,399. The Nasdaq is up 3 points to 2319. The S&P 500 up 8 to 1286. European markets closed mostly higher. The mix was mostly lower in Asia. The contract between the Screen Actors Guild and Hollywood Studios expires tonight, and there's no resolution in sight. A major sticking point is how actors are paid when their work appears on the internet. Sounds like what happened with the Writers Guild earlier this year. But as Stacey Vanek-Smith reports, this probably won't be strike two for the entertainment industry.
Even without a contract, the Screen Actors Guild probably won't vote to strike, says Mark Lachter with business blog LA Observed.
Don't forget, the writer's strike took place when we weren't paying $5 a gallon for gas. The rank and file has to get a sense of whether the incremental gains that they might make through continued negotiations is really worth the effort.
If it is, the studios will be ready. Many have pushed production schedules ahead or put films on hold, and that's expensive, strike or no strike. Kevin Clowden is an economist with the Milken Institute.
And that can lead to increased costs as they have to keep people employed longer than they might otherwise. They might have to do additional edits or reshoots later. Those costs are creeping in, even if the actors don't actually go on strike.
Clowden points out the writer's strike has already cost more than $2 billion. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Animation giant Pixar nabbed its ninth consecutive number one. It was the opening weekend of
WALL-E.
The cautionary ecological tale slash robot love story sold an estimated $62.5 million of tickets its first 3 days. The Incredibles holds the record at Pixar with a $70.5 million opening in 2004.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thriveand.com/retirement. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Here is another issue where gas prices are influencing what people are deciding to do. Home health care workers are a lifeline for a lot of elderly and disabled people. But high gas prices have many care providers thinking about a career change. From Minnesota Public Radio, Michael Caputo has more.
Stephanie Trancoso of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, says she was destined to work as a home health care aide, helping the disabled live independently.
Everybody in my family is either cops or nurses, and I don't like running, so I'll pick nurse.
The 24-year-old drives a 12-year-old Ford Taurus. Duct tape holds a side view mirror in place, and the check engine light glows. She doesn't earn much, a couple of bucks above minimum wage, and she averages about 74 miles a day visiting clients.
You know, I'm putting 20 bucks in my tank every day. You can see I'm going to need to stop and get gas, and I just filled up yesterday.
Trancoso only gets reimbursed for mileage between clients, not for what she drives between her home and her patients. Low reimbursements and climbing gas prices have some home health care providers considering a new job. Take Nancy Zhao. She passes three hospitals within a mile of her Minneapolis home as she drives 30 miles or more to see patients.
Every night I think about quitting and going to work at one of those hospitals.
The National Association for Home Care and Hospice says agencies across the country are losing staff to gas prices. That's forcing them to cut back service, especially in rural areas, at a time of growing demand. A just-released study by the association estimates home care workers will be asked to drive more than 5 billion miles this year.
That's 1.3 million trips across the United States at its widest point, and more than double the 2 million miles that are driven globally by UPS.
That's Association President Val Halamandaris. Advocates like him are hoping Congress passes a proposal to hike by 5% Medicare reimbursements for rural home care agencies to offset gas costs. But he says even if that passes,
it's just a patch on the tire, a temporary fix.
Halamandaris says Congress ought to extend the increase to all home care agencies and get workers rebates for federal gas taxes. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Michael Caputo for Marketplace.
Talk about a power lunch. A Chinese businessman agreed to pay $2.11 million for lunch with Warren Buffett. Every year, Buffett auctions off a lunch with himself. Proceeds go to the Glide Foundation in San Francisco. eBay says this year's lunch was one of the most expensive items ever sold on the site. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.